Blog Talk Radio.
Home of the stars, through the airwaves and on the big screen, coming to you live from Hollywood, it's Rated G Radio with your host, Garrett Miller.
Hey everybody, welcome to Rated G Radio. I'm your host, Garrett Miller, and today we are doing another one of our popular, I'm going to call it a series because that's what it's turning into and it's so much fun, but Mary Lou Monroe Ray from Brisbane, Australia. She's recently moved, so it might not be Brisbane. We'll find out in just a second. But she's doing a takeover today with Mr. Michael Lamb, also from Australia. We're waiting for Michael to call in. And so in the meantime, Mary Lou, welcome back to the show. How are you doing this afternoon in Australia?
Hey there, Garrett. I'm doing well. I tell you, I think I've been the midnight flyer, like a freight train going in and out of town. But I'm here. Every time I hear the Eagles sing that, midnight flyer, I keep it. That's me. Yep.
That's you.
In and out. But I'm here. I have landed. I've set this up this morning. Michael's flying up to the Sunshine Coast. He's actually on the Sunshine Coast, which is the other beautiful beach area north of Brisbane, whereas south is the Gold Coast, which I'm sure you'll come to know when you come to visit us.
I hope so. It sounds beautiful.
I'm in Cleveland now, which is the Redland Bay area. So I'm here with the elements and away from all the traffic.
Okay, so can I ask a dumb question, Mary Lou, since I don't understand the geography of where you're at, unless you say, like, the beach. So where you're at, how far are you away from, like, the ocean compared to where you were before?
Well, it's about a 5-minute drive, 10 minutes. So we're right along the waterfront where Morton Island is. You can go into town, which is a 10-minute drive to Cleveland, where you can get the ferry to Stradbroke Island and some of the islands out around the bay area. And then eventually that goes out into the ocean. So I have, yes, the water, the woodland behind me. I have the air and, it's just beautiful. And lots of wildlife here, lots of birds, which I love.
One thing that I didn't really understand before you sent pictures, and when you sent the pictures, I was like, wow, this is really, really just so beautiful. When you sent the pictures of your new place, it honestly looked like you live here in Southern California. I was like, well, that could be just like any place that I would go, you know, nearby here. And I was like, how come I'm not living there? I want to move down there now.
Well, we have a room available. We're still looking for someone.
Okay.
So come on down. Way down.
Okay.
Way down.
It'd be way down, but I need to bring five little puppies with me, too. So, you know, if you can handle that, I think. Yeah.
I'm sure we'd find my two budgies are happy. They're just beside themselves, literally.
Oh.
They're used to a lot of other noise and traffic, but now they have all the other wildlife to listen to, and they just natter very quietly between themselves. So I think they've survived.
Do their ears perk up, and, you know, are they surrounded by new sounds that they haven't heard before?
I think they're, yes, definitely new sounds that they haven't heard, which is absolute quiet. It's none of the white noise from where I used to live. Yeah.
Mm.
I was on a busy road there with the fire station down the road, and there'd be ambulances and fire engines.
Wow.
Yeah, so I kept everything pretty well closed to be able to do the show. Yeah, so it's been a good move. I still have a bit to do at the other place, so, you know, I've been juggling everything, but I just do one step at a time because that's all you can do. But we have a very special guest with us today, so for the listeners, maybe towards the end of the show, if anybody wants to ring and ask questions for Michael to answer, it's Michael. He does alchemy, so he will be talking about alchemy today and the Kabbalah, which some of us have maybe heard the name of, but he'll explain that because alchemy is to do with sound and color. So, you know, he's like an ancient walking, talking knowledge book, this man. So it's going to be delightful to be able to speak to him today. So I'm hoping he rung in just yet?
Not quite yet. So this is why,
not,
you know, this is the fun part of live radio is, you know, this is our chit-chat time when it turns out that, you know, we get a chance to catch up. So, you know, one of the things that I'm I'm going to kind of flatter you here for just a second. By the way, for everybody who is listening live on West Star Radio on your drive home today this afternoon, I want to thank you in advance for taking time out of your day to spend the latter part of your, well, I call it your work day, but, you know, whatever it is for you. You might be going to work at 5 o'clock. I don't know. But I want to thank you for taking time out of your day to listen in to Rated G Radio. We really sincerely appreciate your patronage here on the show, and hope that you tell your friends and family all about it and you get them to tune in as well. By the way, if you want to make a request for a guest or even a song request, you can simply like the Rated G Radio Facebook fan page when you get home, or just send me an email too at garrett@garrettmiller.com and just say, hey, I heard you on the West Star, here's what I'd like to do. So if we can do that for you, that would be really fun. It's a privilege and honor to be on there for you guys. So, Mary Lou, any news on your end?
Yeah. Yes, I'm getting a call from Michael to do a group call. So,
do you know how to do that? Well, while Mary Lou checks on that, I'm going to play a real quick song here by a recent guest on the Friday Night Dance Party, Carmen Lundy. She has a new jazz album out called Soul to Soul. This is a little song It's called Life is a Song in Me, and we'll be right back after this.
Life is a song in me.
Turned over to you.
Yeah. Thank you. That was a beautiful song. Love that. Well, I just want to welcome everybody. We had a little bit of a technical thing going on there because Michael's out on some beautiful property. But to Michael Lamb, welcome to Redigy Radio. And I also want to thank the listeners at Chat and Spin and Westar in the UK for listening in to our very special guest, Michael Lamb. How are you today, Michael?
I'm very well, thank you. Thanks very much for your patience. Can you hear me fine there? How's
yeah,
that?
Very clear. That's wonderful. So,
oh,
Michael, you're a May Taurus. You're under the sign of Taurus and Gemini, so you have lots of earthy air energy. And I didn't realize you were born in Malaysia because I always thought you were Australian.
Most of my life in Australia. I was actually born there. My father was in the army there, and my mother and father were both born in Queensland. And I was sort of born in the east, and so I was in the northern hemisphere.
Right, okay. And so as a tradesperson, you're actually in the area of metals.
Yeah, that's right.
So you certainly would know about alchemy and fusion of golds and silvers and things. So you're what they would call an alchemy teacher, or you've been a mentor to quite a few people too as well, haven't you? So would you be able to explain to the listeners, because alchemy is like a Kabbalistic or more of a universal philosophy or a knowledge, or is that an ancient tradition where this is strived from? How would you just philosophy, religion, a spiritual thing? How would you describe what alchemy is exactly?
Well, there's many terms you can use for alchemy. It's basically from the old way, al and chem. It actually means, in its traditional sense, in the older sense, this is even pre-Egyptian, from the Sumerians, say it's out of the blackness comes the light. So it's kind of like, you know, if you have absolutely nothing, chaos, you have like the stars are born, all the stars are like constants, as it were, and out of that, light begins to create life on planet Earth and different star systems, as it were, you know. If you look at it, there's other different metaphors used for alchemy. The Arabs, they termed it as the way of Chem. The way of Chem was the way of the Egyptians. The ancient name for Egypt was Chem, and they were saying it was the way of the Egyptians, or the great pharaohs, as it were, because they had access to great knowledge, as it were. You know, they were able to work with different metals and stones.
Yes.
They were great artificers.
Well, they had a lot of gold.
To a pharaoh.
Yeah, they had a lot of gold. They
beautiful,
artifacts and, you know, the pharaohs and all their beautiful jewelry or whatever they adorn themselves with, and you see so much of it with that turquoise and the gold inlaid, but like in their staffs and different things that you see in Egyptian whatever you call it, or treasures, if you like, that the first of half. So you just can't spell it like C-H-E-N.
It's K-H-E-N.
Much
more older, yeah.
Awesome.
It's not just like with the Egyptians or the Sumerians as well. It goes through every single culture in the world. You'll find that gold is synonymous with the god or gods. I mean, it's just an L that's just changing the spelling. And that color is about, it's about the use of color, number, shape, and shape as well. So it's bringing things in, and you actually use it. It's like a power vibration from the body and different alphabetical letters relate to a different color vibration, a different sound and tone, and also a shape and an element, and also a numeric vibration.
Okay.
For example, if you use the R, like, for example, it's like an it's a light blue and a balam. So therefore, connecting a color and sound, which is a universal fractal, into the body, and therefore in the body, it's not just the physical body, it actually relates to the mental body, the astral body, and the causal plane, which is the Akasha or the spirit plane, and therefore you can manifest things quite naturally from your being. It's a high magic and was once hidden from many of the people. But it relates to the tree of life, Drongelo Melchizedek's flower of life, and the fruit of life, which is this all constant source field that we can have access to. And once again, it's not just, we've had many cultures, even before the Egyptians, we had the Sumerians. And in Celtic, Sumer, I mean, you know, dragon, you know, if you go back several thousand years. And also we have a lot of the Mayan civilizations, you know, the Aztec, the Inca, plus a lot of your North American indigenous tribes.
Yes.
They have a lot of the legends that go back to some of these people that go right back to the Toltec. And they have their calendars and also the stone layouts of a lot of the temples. A lot of it relates to the stones. But even in the stones, if there's a key to the metals as well, because our bodies, every human body, a lot of we're running minerals through our body.
Yes.
You know, we have iron in our blood, we need calcium for our bones, selenium, you know, many, many different minerals. But these compounds that run through our body are necessary for high advancement. We're finding now with a lot of people's diets, they're not getting the right minerals,
yes,
you know, vitamins or supplements. They're getting calcification in their higher receptors, particularly the pineal pituitary gland complex, you know, as also, yeah, with the hypothalamus. Whereas people that are closer to nature, drinking good water, good air, they're in a good life, they're happy, or they're in a connection with nature or family, you know, they're finding out what they really like in their life. They like being close to nature. And in that space, they're in a creative zone,
yes,
where they're content and they can create from that. And it's a natural way to communicate through, whether it be the law of attraction or other greater higher laws, to bring things into their life.
Yeah, it's interesting because not so long ago we had Justin Lokiha Asar, who does the liquid crystals, and they're really a lot of the minerals that we need in the body, which are sort of, it actually is more activated once it's in the living body. So it tends to, so that's a form, I suppose, of alchemy in its sense, itself, I suppose. And, you know, obviously in the sound, like mantras that you hear, and of course the sacred Om and the sounds that you make, which resonate in the body. And I suppose each of the chakras have got associated sounds. So alchemy and the color, and plus our aura, I mean, people with auras, you tend to see different colors, and I think blues, some associated with Cation or a spiritual truth, and I guess some of the yellows are that high intelligence, or, you know, closer to the gold of that very high intelligence. That's some of the things I've learned myself. So do you think there's so many different aspects to this? Would you say they tend to flow in, or they interact with each other, or they're interconnected in some way by using alchemy and sound and color in that vibration? Because as far as I know, most things are made of vibrating
like
energy.
Many of the different philosophies and religions around the world, once again, within the main scope of even secret societies, you have like layers and tiers. And as you go through the layers and tiers, or if you higher adept level, you become a lot more familiar with deeper work or deeper knowledge. And once again, some of the systems in the world, they don't agree. I mean, for example, you could have spiritual masters that are doing this particular mandala and for a particular chakra, yet you get this other system, you know, for example, and they do the same mandala and they use it for a different application. And there are thousands of mandalas. And same with colors. I mean, if you went through the normal Ritchie Boyd method, which is the red, orange, the yellow, the green, the blue, the indigo, and then the violet through your normal seven chakras. Mm. I mean, that's pretty much a universal way. But then you'll have different, even scientists now, we're working with sound vibration. Spectroscopy, they're finding different sounds and colors. So there's like layers to these energetic wheels, the chakras.
Yeah.
And also, some are having success with one color and not with another. And
okay.
some people are using sound. Because if you use, for example, the heart chakra, you know, we use the sound, which sounds like yum, like you just normally say as a child.
Yeah.
That seems quite relevant, and it's a green color, but some systems may not agree with that. But what we'd like to share is that what works for you individually, you know, whatever flows your hair back, whatever trips your trigger, whatever, you know, flows your boat, whatever gets you through the night is all right. Thanks very much, John Lennon. You know, you want to get something that sort of rolls for you rather than trying to get too specific. Otherwise, it gets very much caught up. I mean, I have the deepest respect for religions and traditions, whether it be, you know, Judaism or Hinduism or Zen or Shintoism or Islam or Christianity, because, you know, there's over 38,000 different divisions of Christianity now, but everyone, that's the way they're sort of taking it, as opposed to what's right or wrong. We don't want to get caught up in that. We just look at it as different aspects of, you know, negative and positive, or electric and magnetic energy, and how you're balancing with it.
Yeah.
Now, for example, you know, you give someone like a healing substance, let's say a penicillin, for example, and you could have like 10 people in the room and it'll work for 9 people, and then maybe one person it won't work for, you know what I mean? They'll have an allergic reaction to it. I believe there's been a lot of different things analyzed. There's a lot of science around in regards to this, you know. And sometimes with meditation, music works really well for people, and other times people can't stand the music. Even if it's a Baroque or a classical, it annoys them. Whereas, you know, you can get a sound bowl healing technique that will vibrate beautifully through your whole being, and that'll work for you as an individual, but other people it might not have the right effect on.
Yes, I think it is very much placed, because with crystal bowls, sometimes the pitch is quite high too, and it's too much for them if they're not used to it. I think depending on your own chakras and how are to things, that vibration, you know, some people tend to resonate to the more denser, lower sort of sounds, and some people like the really high sounds, even if choices of music. For some, like for years ago when Mariah Carey first came out, I had a friend that could never stand her higher pitches, and it weighed on her nerves, you know. So I think sound is quite a personal thing for some people, and until you are open and you have that flow coming through you, I guess that's our choice in music too. I mean, some people are into heavy metal, and whereas that's probably not one of my preferences, I choose things that are more harmonic and maybe more soothing or uplifting, and that would tend to grate on my nerves. So a lot of it, I guess, is personal choice, or the kind of energy that you've got yourself placed in at the time, or whatever's going on in your life too.
Once again, that's
so
very relevant.
You know,
where you're at, because if you're going to work, let's say, in a construction site, or if you've got to work, you know, say, in some sort of mechanical or an environment with other people, you need an energy that's conducive, rather than you're not going to be in like a spiritual sort of state. You can't activate yourself. You know, I remember when we're teaching, for example, I'm teaching a class, I'm in a waking meditation. I'm actually functioning in the physical plane, but I'm actually drawing energy either through my heart or through a crown chakra, but also I'm using my hand chakras as well. You know, because if you're working in a heavy environment, and I had that question laid on me a lot of times over years. I've got 30 years of doing the work.
A
lot of different students. Yeah, well, you get people from every single walk of life, from different nationalities and different different divisions, and some music would work. I knew guys that used to work with they liked the metal because they'd be working in a heavy metal and, you know, industrial environment, and that was kind of like the Shield, you know, like, you know, the Queen's "We Will Rock You," for example. That's an anthem. Well, that's an anthem. It goes
it motivates
whereas through your day, you know, the average person has 30,000 to 70,000 thought forms, so you have emotional attachments to every one of those thought forms. mean, once again, just doing an overview here. And when you go, it's on your moods. If you actually cover your moods over the next, say, 4 weeks, let's say if you're looking at over a lunar cycle or even a year, you're saying it. And that's what we have done. I had to do it when I was training in the School of Inner Knowledge. I did 9 years there learning the Kabbalah. I started off with basic healing and learning about the planets. And then we were combining astrology, astronomy, we're doing cosmology and a lot of different other layers. Also cracking codes, you know, what people see as this is much, much deeper or it's hidden. That's what the word cult means too. It just means, hidden. But getting back to what I was sort of saying, you know, what people use in sound or colour is what generates, you know, their space. And it's also the intention. You know, a lot of it's about your intention. And if you look at your 10 fingers, that's what you create with, your intention. And that's where your attention goes, you know. And there's some things we can do on autopilot and other things we have to be very, very conscious about, you know. And then sometimes if we're doing a healing, it's the best thing sometimes to do is to just get your own personality out of the way and let any sort of energy or being that is relevant to the high frequency move through your being as an instrument so that the healing can take place. And I'm sure that works in a lot of acupuncture, acupressure, Reiki, kinesiology, shiatsu, you name whatever modality that's working, you know. And it's not just Western, it's Eastern, and it's Northern, and it's Southern, you know. It's the best application for you is to find out. That's one of the beauties of life. You're on a journey. Yes.
Yeah, because even myself as a kinesiologist or working with the traditional Chinese medicine, we were energy meridians. And I can, when I'm working, I can actually, as a block, when I use my hands, I just tune in myself and just run along and I can feel where there's something that's not, that's in disharmony to the rest of the energy. And sometimes you just feel it in people's energy too, or even by their words. But it has so much to do with our intention and what it is we wish to create that we're trying to bring in. Yeah.
Well, exactly. If you're having a conversation with someone, just use the English language here as an example, whether it be American, Australian, South African, New Zealand, Scottish, whatever. But just as a tone, you can say one sentence or one phrase, but if you change the tone of one word, the whole phrase is a different meaning just on the tone.
Yeah.
So once again, also getting back to those experiences that you were having before, you know, with the crystal bowls. I have a friend in Sydney, and he bought some really tricked up bowls. I say tricked up because someone got all plated. And anyway, he was doing it. He had a moldavite bowl, and as you know, mold is a very high vibrational crystal.
Wow.
And it's,
yes.
Yeah. He did this thing. I was a bit out of whack this day because, you know, obviously in the city, you know, your energy was that. I had a class to teach the next day, so I looked a bit out of whack. So he put me through these different vibrational frequencies, you know, with your normal, you know, E, G, B, D, F. And then we started to work with the high frequencies.
Wow.
The mind just took me, like, it went beyond not just the mental plane, but into the astral. It, like, opened up a gateway to cosmic and fractal planes, like, you know, Buddhic and Nirvanic planes. And it almost took over an hour and that to come back to the physical body. And by the time I come back to the physical body, it was like a protoplasm. It's like I felt. Well, it was like,
wow.
Like an ET or an angel or some sort of being trying to come back into this mechanical machine. And then suddenly realize that's working on autopilot too. There's another thing with healing. If you cut yourself, your body naturally heals.
Yeah.
But you can amplify that healing through love, or there's many different techniques that we're speaking about before with healing. And, you know, you can apply colour. I used to go through a lot of damage when I was younger in the construction. I was working with a lot of welding and melding of different metals and stones together. And you get some terrible burns. But, you know, as much healing and protection, because you start to think of armouring up, literally like, you know, Star Trek. You know, you virtually, you know, shield up because you're working with dangerous characters or people that aren't quite emotionally of a level that's sort of, you know, stable. And that's kind of a challenge, but you have to deal with it. So you're kind of in a zone where you've virtually put a shield on, and also there is activity in the environment that can be quite challenging to your body. So let's say I've got a burn from an Aussie torch or a weld, and, you know, your average welder, I mean, they cook it about 6,000 degrees centigrade when you actually add liquid steel. Yeah, but that cools down, like, in nanoseconds to, like, you know, hundreds of degrees. Yeah, but that sort of burn, but firstly, just, well, it's actually incorporated into my being now, how to release that kind of heat. You used to you could put it straight back on cold metal, or if you like to carry lavender, you know, a lot of different different oils, or also, and another thing to amplify was actually visualize like a waterfall or like water, almost like a laser going out. There's a lot of truth now in not just your science fiction, your science fantasy, but a lot of those cartoons that you saw as children that you really identified with, you know, it's actually part of our life. And once again, you'd be surprised. I find there's more truth in nursery rhyme, a lot of the science fiction, science fantasy, and the great work than in most of the newspapers in the world these days, you know what I mean? Because strange as that may sound, it's just about what the level of truth that they're sort of expressing in a very, very simple way.
Yes,
you know, children don't have that sort of issue, as it were.
Well, that's true because, you know, a lot of it is inspired people that have written songs and, you know, narration. That's just another form of getting the truth out there. It's another platform for it to be launched out there for people to connect within the heart to help them on their journey. So music's such an integral part, as well as science and as well as spirituality, and they all seem to be blending together or coming together to fuse together to bring a lot of change into the world. So what would you say the difference for you, Michael, would be between teaching, experiencing, or would it be like a living alchemy for you? How would you describe your life or the way you live your life?
I'll just answer those questions in sequence. For example, it's a good series of questions. We are now with the consciousness, not just since 2012, even the lead up to it as well, without getting into sort of using that as a cliche. The consciousness now is becoming so advanced. We're not just like conscious, we're connecting with our subconscious. People are finding it in their dream levels. They're a lot more lucid dreams. They're a lot more aware. They're interacting. Their subconscious is showing the symbolism or connection with loved ones as well. That's just in the astral planes. But also there's layerings now of the great ancient teachings. The further we go forward with technology, let's take our interactive iPhones and Androids. I mean, if you understand metal, that's titanium oxide. That's like the main interface there, and it just works without touch. And that kind of thing, that's still 20 years behind like the main the sort of the black ops, what those kind of guys are got or whatever. But the further we go into the future, the more we go back into the ancient past, we find that this stuff is around. When you start looking at the layouts of some of these stones, it just blows your mind. Some of the stats, like on the pyramids, whether it be the Mayan or the Egyptian, and not even that, your Stonehenge, your Avebury, and look at all the burial mounds, the amount of knowledge is there. There's all these fragments of truth, and this is what I find with the Kabbalah and also with the alchemy. You can mess so many different polarities. Because you've got like a series of codes, you're bringing in not just consciousness of other beings and other life forms, whether it be plant, mineral, human consciousness. You can communicate with stones and crystals, and then you're finding that you're actually layering it into a super consciousness. If I looked at this like consciousness being like your mental self, when you're not aware of things, you're unconscious. When you're working with your astral or your soul body, you're more like a subconscious. And then if you look at, this is a generalization, your spirit is a super consciousness. Now, you'll notice that I separate spirit and soul because soul is more your personality, your character, and what you're learning, the lessons this time, whereas your spirit is like your super drive. It's like a sun being. It's an energy being that goes through many, many incarnations. And as I say, if you look at time, which is like your fourth dimension, we're just going to line up again on this massive spiral. We'll just keep lining up, whether it be the precession of the equinoxes or where we were last year. But we're not running around in circles. We're actually going on a spiral. And everything in the universe works in spiral. And spiral, if you put a T on it, is spirit. It's just earthing spirit. So
that's true, spirit,
to incarnate, no matter what kind of being you are, you know, I don't know if you're Palladian or, you know, an Arcturian or, you know, like you're
a
you're having incarnations here, or if you're a nudity soul or whatever, you know, whatever zodiac sign you want to, like, label yourself with. I'm not trying to knock, I'm just sort of saying wherever you're coming from, kind of, there's kind of laws and rules on this planet that you're sort of, you're locked to. You might have a few challenges in one area, but you find that some people have much more awareness and activity in others, as it were. Another good way of looking, as I say, the soul is growing, you know, it's always evolving, and soul, you know, means some. And here's the thing, I'd just like to express this. If you look, no matter which beings people say, oh, do you believe in God? I thought, which one? I can name 380 off the top of my head. No disrespect, but you've got to look at all the different layers of beings in between, whether they be guys or diva or jinn or many of the people that have passed over. Because they're so alive on this plane, they're very much connected, you know. Plus, it explains a lot of the different realms and reality. But you're looking at a super consciousness, what they're looking for, let's say a multiversal life force being that creates. Because the sun, our sun, Tiferet, we call it Kafala, has, you know, creates more life in one nanosecond than 6 billion people could do, you know, in a day kind of thing. I mean, maybe that's an exaggeration, but if you look at it, so the whole photosynthesis of everything and every plant
relies on the sun.
Yeah, your mental mind cannot possibly compute that. It cannot. And then if you look at the moon, you know, dragging the tides of every river, every lake, and every stream, you know, that you've ever seen, your parents have ever seen, or every other person that's walked this planet has seen. So there's an interaction going on there. Yeah. And those planets in space don't just happen to be there in that solar system. It's not by accident, you know, like 80 trillion tons of rock is orbiting the Earth. It has an energy that's not just electric and magnetic. It actually has an effect on our body. You know, if you look at the ancient text, we created man in the image of the gods. And by the way, the word God is plural twice in the Old Testament. You're looking at that. Depends how deep you want to go. I'm not here to threaten or challenge anyone's belief system. It's just about opening one's mind and also their soul for awareness that can be accessed to super consciousness. Mm. And this is a fabulous and fascinating time on this planet. Like I say, further we go forward, we're going backwards as well. And that's how it has to work. It has to go, energy has to go both ways, male, female, you know? It's still, you know?
Well, that's the spiral too. I mean, the golden mean is in, you look at, that's how the world is sort of structured as well. And all the sacred geometry, the numbers, that the golden mean number, if you look at a sunflower, how it's structured, everything's in those sort of special geometric shapes, aren't they?
Absolutely.
So does that come into alchemy or the colors and sounds and frequencies? Because on your website, which is michaelsalchemy.com, is the AU on the end or is it John? So because you do consultations and healings and crystal healing, you also work, and I think there's a chart that actually talks about the sound frequencies and their association with the actual note and color, because a lot of those things, I remember looking on the website myself, and there was some gauge where you could, it had a little tuner in your pitch for the different frequencies. Some of them are meant to actually heal our bodies or the outer bodies, I think, to do DNA repair and all sorts of fascinating things.
Absolutely. Mm. Yeah, 528, for example, for that, or 111 or 369. There's solfeggio frequencies. There's also a lot of different tones that are, once again, most ancient. But they do work with golden mean and golden proportion, golden ratio. Once again, that's the thing with the alchemy. It's a really good way to net your mathematics, your geometry, your sound, your color healing, and it gives you a universal scope. You kind of, it's like the random access memory, your RAM in your computer. A look at RAM is like, you know, the RAM, virtually the first astrological sign. You can just sort of slide up along the whole 12 scopes. You know, like you can access any code. As soon as someone, it's almost like a different being talking to you in a different language, whether it be your dog, your cat, or a bird, or I don't know, some ET being. And it's just, you can communicate in images really, really quick because it's a universal shape. And if those shapes or those symbology, once again, you're communicating. It's like a shortcut on your desktop.
And
this is what I like to share with people when I do a Skype interview, for example. I like to share, let's say if I'm doing 30 minutes, I was doing a consultation last night with a lady from Brazil. And she had she was quite young. She had like a lot of, you know, a friend of mine said, you know, you need to talk to her and share some of this way to nest. She was not much scattered, but she had like a lot of knowledge, but she shouldn't put it down into layers. I said, well, look, it's like shortcuts on your cell phone, you know, or your iPhone or your desktop or your tablet. that key that takes you straight into that plane. That, you know, that key. It's like an address, you know, once again, or a website. It just takes you to that dimension, that layout.
Yeah.
It's an interface, and you just need the right interface. And once again, it's no matter who or what you're talking to, if you've got the right interface. I found it extremely challenging sometimes. Like, I'd be talking with family members, I'd be working on different levels, and certain family members I had to be a little bit more harsh with. Like, if he was a tough old uncle, if he was a concreter, you had to bring in, like, a different energy, you know, and they kind of like you to talk hard and solid, you know, like it's a warrior class. As opposed to if you're talking to, you know, your mother or, you know, your auntie or your daughter or what have you, you know. And especially with certain dogs or cats, you need, like, a disciplined frequency as opposed to others. Just a soft frequency, that's the tone that gets through. That's the interface that's needed. And we actually are, like, a living, you know, interface, our being. Mm. And once again, through meditation, really good quality meditation, once again with the Kabbalah, I've written probably over 400-500 meditations now, put in the actual workings when I was studying, and different ways to get to different planet systems. And it's just like, instead of going just to the silence, move up to the light within the head, which is basically pineal pituitary, and then from there we can get a different chakra point or into different dimensions. And once again, it's just like an interface. And if you're in that space, you're conscious, awake, and you stay with, like, on the other side, like with the astral plane where beings have passed over, you get to know it. It's just like you're walking a city or town or a different time zone. And that's why, you know, movies, art and music work so well. They take you back to a place. And that's another thing with your sensory organs. As you smell, it'll take you back down a time zone, as it were. I hope I'm not talking too far.
No. No, you're fine. But and it's true, you know, just so much has to do with sound. The way we speak to each other, you can tell by the tone someone uses. And it really is, for me, communication is the art of being a good listener and being really clear in, you know, what you're speaking about and what you're trying to express, which is always to do with the voice box anyway, which is always with the color blue. So your list here on your website, the colors and their sound frequencies, it sort of explains what each of these colors stimulates in the body and the energy for the chakras. And then it goes into, that quick little chart with, and it's got the glands, the characteristic and the qualities. So there's a lot of wonderful information here, Michael, and even things, certain frequencies or notes that I suppose help to clear or heal the body, like the gallbladder or the stomach, just looking at your little charts here. So there's lots of knowledge.
A lot of people are very thankful for that kind of knowledge, that information, once again. Yeah, and, you know, I work with my website builder, Samuel, and he's just pioneered a new healing technology, HLS, you know, what we call the... I want to use this real, trying to get his real name. If it is fantastic, it's actually like crystals mounted on the palms of the hand. And I had some wonderful experiences. I had it just the other week, and it worked really well on myself. Once again, a lot of people were a bit reluctant to come into the crystal technology. Yet, if you look at the first lasers that were invented, they were virtually almost reverse engineered from the 60s. I won't go into which scientists and how they did it. But, you know, the first lasers were ruby, beryllium, emerald, and yag, which is yttrium garnet. So there you got three stones that are actually mentioned in the Old Testament. They're mentioned in other sacred texts, you know, the Vedas, Upanishads. And then you find, once again, your first technology was record players. You know, they're using record players' stylus. So diamonds picking up the sound off your vinyl record. Your first radio sets were crystal radio sets. Your PC, your Mac, you know, you're using crystal technology. If you look at the head and it's a layering via the binary code, and what we're talking before with the golden mean is actually Fibonacci, which works for the penta. The penta and the hex are two very, very important symbols
in relationship to shape and color. Most of your quartzes grow in hexagonal shapes. So does your ruby, so does your sapphire, so does, you know, gosh, there's so many. Diamond's a little bit different. It's more octahedral structure.
Because it's one of the hardest. It has the hardest. 10. Yeah. It can cut through glass and things too, couldn't it?
Yeah, the only way to cut a diamond is with a harder diamond, and that's got its own levels up there. And unless you're using something that's sort of been baked out in, you know, extraterrestrial level. But they're, if you look at sapphire and ruby, they're corundums. Now, the original watch, they're 9 on the Harvard scale. And once again, sapphires are used in sound audio technologies as well. That's why having those stones close to your body is very, very good.
Yes.
And, yeah, it's not like it's hocus pocus or hairy-fairy. It's not by accident that these stones are mentioned in sacred texts.
And also people have them as their birthstones. And they, you know, even, you know, years ago when I was growing up, you know, I had a sapphire for my birthstone month. And, you know, there's obviously reasons that people made them popular. And obviously the ancients, they were the precious gems to them, the rubies and the emeralds, you know, and the gold, as they obviously knew a lot of knowledge behind it that they didn't always share with, you know.
Not with the mainstream,
no. No,
because it's
very
for them
protected.
Yeah, well, if you look at the elite today, I'd say probably, I mean, not all the elite are bad or whatever. Say, you know, just 20% are quite, you know, benevolent. But some, they think that their knowledge is precious, not to be shared. You know, they look at it as a power, you know, thing. And, you know, honestly, that, you know, some of the powerful elite, you know, they're not ready to sort of share that knowledge, you know, because they think it's their birthright, their destiny in that regard, you know.
Yeah.
And, okay, that's understandable. When you do start to go deeper into different sacred texts, you can understand why it's not shared, because it literally blows your mind, because you've opened up almost like a Pandora's box, and there's certain aspects of this knowledge I wouldn't recommend to certain people because it's not ready for them.
Yeah, you have to be responsible with that kind of knowledge. Too much knowledge can be a dangerous thing, the old quote they used to say.
Absolutely. You need the wisdom to wield it, or you might be in a space where you don't do a lot of the work for 5 to 10 years or even a few months or whatever, because you need to nest and do the download so that you get all the pieces of the puzzle. You know, there's things that you may, let's say, certain aspects of knowledge or wisdom or download you got many years ago, and you can't sort of put them into place. And then suddenly, a few months later in your life, you get the aha, and then that piece of the puzzle falls in. You know, what if this is take place? So you have a connection to, you know, your deeper self knowledge, as it were. It's kind of funny. You have all the keys and the codes inside you, and that's the best hiding place. Because people have to look inside themselves, and then they start to realize they have a solar system in themselves, and it's like a galaxy, and then onwards, outwards.
Yes, because most people look for answers outside themselves, and it's always about going within and coming back to the self. So even with the origins of alchemy, and so this, where did this all start? Was it through Thoth and Hermes where did it become more proliferant in time? Oh, the Emerald Tablets. Yes, I've heard of them.
Yeah, the Emerald Tablets. Basically, it's sort of like the Table of Testimony that they mentioned in the Old Testament as well. It's kind of like a supercomputer. It has all the knowledge that man would have and all the knowledge that man would know, as it were. Now, Hermes is Thoth Trismegistus, and a lot of the pharaohs were, let's say, the Tough Moses. They're named after Thoth and Moses. Mm. In the Hebrew, the Mizoyim, Mushish, it's a line. Moses is a line of great leaders, like kings, pharaohs. Yeah. Mm. Well, your pharaohs had a vizier, which is like where the word wizard comes from. They're a vizier, and they kept a lot of the, the spiritual knowledge. And look, the imbalance of Egypt, you're going 1,000 years, you're ripping down a massive line there. But Thoth is actually from Sumeria, And then you're going to be looking at a lineage of gods that's just almost so off this planet. You know, there are other people I'd recommend if you want to go into that, because it reads like a pretty interesting story. Because if you look at the mainstream evolution, we're looking at, you know, the Homo habilis, Homo erectus, and then we go down to a Neanderthal, and we have Cro-Magnon, and then suddenly we have these civilizations like Sumeria that springs up, all these other civilizations that are springing up that are quite advanced. So we feel that, you know, there's obviously been an intervention. Rather than looking at the old adage of creation and evolution, which is a bit, like, it's not so much redundant. They're both, you know, if you're a creator, if you build things, you create stuff, and naturally you evolve. It's both.
Yeah.
But your intervention, it's like you choose to intervene between two dogs having a fight or something, or two people having it, you're intervening. And that's exactly what's happened here. So we've got some beings that have interfered with our DNA. When you look at them as our future self, archangels, archons, I don't know, whatever you want to call them, those sorts of beings sort of come in. But that level of technology has been given to us in language, and in the language there are higher codes and there are a greater layers to it. What is, I suppose, one of the most fascinating things that I found in my journey is some of the most simple shapes and the simple letters have, right in front of our face, have the most phenomenal power. Even if you look why so many of the old Sufi and the great monks and sages of the time, they'll look at apple, you'll see an apple or an orange.
Yes, when you cut
the
it open.
To that, you're looking at a toroidal field. What we used to think in mainstream systems was, you know, there's a circle, which is your aura. It's not a circle, it's a sphere. That's a three-dimensional circle. Now we're looking at a torus, which is a four-dimensional sphere. And we need to look at the torus, like the toroidal field, it's like exactly an apple and an orange. In the center, you have C, you know, and it's like these two columns that go to the center. And it shows you what the seven dimensions are, or the seven directions, rather, rather than looking at it. We actually see what's sitting right there in front of your eyes, this field effect. You have north, south, east, west, plus up, down, but at the middle, you have center. Mm-hmm. And your centaur is the key to the centaur. And that's another thing in the galaxy. In front of us, or between where the two centaurs point to this, if you see in the sky and you're looking at astrology and astronomy, you can link the two. That's when there's a superpower that blows the lid off all this knowledge. It absolutely connects right down through mythology and legends, and if you just think, oh, my God. But where the two centaurs point, that's the center of the galaxy. It's absolutely incredible. And what's the heart of the scorpion? But they're actually showing you the heart is the center. And it's this incredible... Well, not incredible, but it takes a long time to sort of land it. But there's a really good chart that's been around for quite a few decades, and I love to use that as a teaching tool.
So you
Michael and Mary Lou,
we're going to run out of time in a minute.
We're just a real quick timer. We've got about 5 minutes left, so we'll just get it wrapped up. But we'll want to also get Michael back because this is fascinating. So thank you, Michael, and I'll be quiet now. Go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Garrett. I really wanted to have a chance to chat to you. I thought we were going to chat.
Well, we'll chat too, but you got Mary Lou here, so you got your expert here. So I appreciate both of you tonight. Thank you so much.
So you do the alchemy and you teach the platonic solids. So when have you got another class coming up, Michael? How can people reach you through your website? You've got a Facebook page as well where people can connect and inbox you to find out when your classes are running, or you on your website?
Yeah, the website is michaelsalchemy.com, M-I-C-H-A-E-L-S, put the S in there. Alchemy.com.
I'm pretty sure that's on our show page today too, if people want to have a look on the show page.
Wonderful.
Yeah. And you sell crystals too, and you do consultations and healing via Skype or other ways people can reach you if they want to have a session with you.
They certainly can. They can get me on Michael Lamb or Michael Alchemy on my Skype. I have two addresses there. And, you know, usually a session is quite affordable. It's 30 minutes. I speak for about, I say 30 minutes is just what that person is requiring in their life. Some people want a lot of knowledge on different stones and crystals. They might want to know the makeup crystallized or why lapis lazuli was used
certain Harman's mask or why certain stones were used in his layouts, whether it's granite in his temple or whatever. Anyway, we better wrap this up.
Get you back on. Thank you so much for coming on today. So next time you come, everybody, all our listeners, you'll have to have your questions ready. But Michael, I think it's life layout, and you teach all about the astronomy, astrology, crystals, you name it, and the elements. And the well, thank you so much for joining us today, Michael. You're just a plethora of knowledge, as per usual. You're a walking ancient legend, I'm sure, and I know you visited some sacred sites, so maybe you can talk about a few more of those things when we get you back on next time. So,
it's been an absolute pleasure.
All right.
Okay, so MichaelsAlchemy.com, and yeah, check me out on Skype. And once again, it's only like $50 US for like 30 minutes or whatever, you know. Talk, and I help you find out anything you'd like to know about those different legends. If there's any question I can't answer, I usually know someone that may answer that as well. So pretty good like that.
Fantastic. Thanks for joining us today. And I will talk to you after the show. And thanks, Garrett, for having me again,
thank you.
As per usual.
Thank you, Mary Lou. Thank you, Michael.
I hope you found it interesting.
And this has been great. I'm going to take a real quick second to plug the Friday night show.
Yep.
So tomorrow night, everybody, we have musical guest Issa on the Friday night dance party. She's an independent artist. She's got a new single that's coming out on April 27th. She's going to world premiere it here with us on the show. And again, if you are listening on Chat and Spin Radio or Westar Radio in the UK, we thank you for being part of the show. If you're listening on the Blog Talk format, please follow the show. You will get a little email or a text message. Your preference, it'll prompt you on how to fill it all in, so you can get a link for every live show every Monday through Friday. We appreciate you being here. Of course, like the Rated G Radio Facebook fan page. We're going to play just a little snippet of a recent guest, Tom Goss. He shared this song with us called Wait, and we will see you live on the Friday Night Dance Party. Don't drive distracted. Thanks, everybody, for being here. Hold on.
Virginia. He says I'm everything to him. He says my words, they sound like scripture. Whoa. And not the napkin they're written in. He said, wait, you'll be on your way. He said, wait, just another day. You gotta write you that perfect song. Tell your soul. Soon I made it down to Georgia. Another bar, another night.
You've been listening to Rated G Radio.